Book of Colossians, chapter number 3. I want to start in verse number 12. We'll read four verses here this morning. Chapter 3, verse 12 says, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful." Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. We have the blessed privilege to enter into this house, one with another. Our Father, we realize and recognize today that this hour could be the most important hour in the life of an individual here. For it could be the time that they put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that would be true. For those who have done so, I pray, O God, it would be a time that we might understand and recognize the greatest privilege that we have as your children. God, I pray you will work in our hearts today. Bless as we look into your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Many years ago, in a little town called Wainsgate, England, there was a small church. The pastor's name was John Fawcett. He had been there for 7 years. He had a growing family, but a very small income, and he felt that he just had to move to a larger church in a larger town that would pay him a decent wage, that he might be able to support his family. Moving day came, and many of the parishioners came to help him, but they mostly stood by and wept over the prospect of losing their beloved pastor. As the movers loaded the last piece of furniture into the wagon, Brother Fawcett's wife turned to him and said she didn't know how they were going to leave. He confessed that he had the very same feelings. And he turned to the folks that were standing around and said, "Move our stuff back in." Out of genuine love for that congregation, he wound up staying and ministering to them for well over 50 years. I want you to hear what John Fawcett wrote later. "Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like that above. Before our Father's throne, we pour our ardent prayers. Our fears, our hopes, our aims are one, our comforts and our cares. We share our mutual woes, our mutual burdens bear. And often for each other flows the sympathizing tear. When we asunder part, it gives us great pain. But we shall be joined in heart and hope to meet again." Love. Love is a fruit of the Spirit. Love is not that which the world knows, understands, or can really conjure up. The love that God has, when the Bible said, "For God so loved the world," can only come into the heart of a Christian by the Holy Spirit of God. You and I have not the capacity in and of ourselves. It is indeed a fruit of the Spirit. In our text, we find that after instruction to put on the mercies of God, His kindness, humility, as it speaks of humbleness of mind, meekness, patience, long-suffering. Isn't that a wonderful word, long-suffering? We don't get that from the word patience, but it means very simply to suffer a long time with somebody. Forbearing one another. Interesting term. And forgiving one another. And then he says in verse 14, "Above all these things, put on charity. Above it all, if there is going to be something that is going to bring all of these together and make them a reality, then we must put on charity, which he calls here the bond of perfectness. Without this charity, and I love the word charity rather than love here, because we think of charity as that which we are giving. And that's what love is. And as we think of this, he says, it is that which is going to help us to forbear one another. In other words, being willing to have a tolerance, to bear the tolerance of another, rather than to criticize them. Isn't it easy to criticize? Isn't it easy to look down our nose at somebody, but to bear with them many times is difficult? There can never be real forgiveness in our lives. In other words, not holding that which has been done in the past against somebody without the love of God in our soul. He says, above all, these things put on charity. Oh, we can look and we say, boy, wouldn't it be great if Christians were that way? Boy, if my brethren were like that, boy, wouldn't it be a great church to be in? I mean, wouldn't it be a great world to be in? But let's not stop and understand something. The Bible's talking to you and to me. Amen? And so when we look at this, we ought to stop and ask ourselves, is He talking to me? Above all these things, Pastor Springer, put on charity. In other words, learn how through that to forbear with other folks. Learn how to forgive. Be that person that has mercy and kindness and humbleness because of that love within. True love causes us, compels us, if you please, to act selfishly and sacrificially for others. Not for ourselves, but for others. Matter of fact, if we are acting selfishly and sacrificially for self, it's because we don't have love for others as we need. How important it is. It is that which seeks the best for another. Peter, when he writes of charity, says this, charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Interesting how he writes that. In our consumer American-minded churches, we want to be loved and we want to serve or be served. We want to go to a church that, boy, they're going to heap love upon me and they're going to meet all of my needs and all of this. But oh, how we need to realize. Feeling love is good. But the real essence of being a Christian is to be the initiator of love. To be the one who starts that process. Many times I've heard people, and I've done the same thing, tell of going to some church while on vacation and walking in and nobody shaking their hand, nobody saying hello. And by the way, if this is your first time here and nobody has done that, shame on Open Door Baptist Church. But I've often wondered, if they haven't to you, did you to them? Why do we have to have it initiated on us? Why cannot we be the ones who initiate it? My question this morning is this: how is your love life to others? Please take that in the right context. If the love of God is being produced in your heart by the Spirit of God, I believe that that love is going to have a direction. I want to share that direction with you. First of all, in our text, I believe that if you have the love of God working in your hearts, as He says here, to put on that charity, and it is going to be that which binds us in perfection, that love is going to be towards the saved. It will be towards brethren. But you say, boy, you just don't understand how Christians act. Yeah, I do. I look in the mirror. Yeah, I understand how I behave. I understand I'm not perfect. I've looked at it and I've wondered, how is it that a guy can stay in the ministry this long? And I come to one conclusion, and it's this: because there's a group of folks who've gathered together in this church who have a forgiving heart to all the stupid things that I do. All I can say is, thank you. Oh, but by the same token, did you know I had to forgive you a few times too? Because, really, I hope that I don't burst your bubble, but if you came believing this was going to be a perfect church, you're disqualified. Because we're imperfect beings here. That's why I still have a job. But oh, how we need to be that kind of people who love one another. Amen? How we need to love each other. It means that we really care about each other. It means that we are willing to sacrifice highly for Him. Listen to what it says in 1 John chapter 3. Verse 16 says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God." Now think about that. He says, this is how we perceive it. Here's how we can see it. Because He laid down His life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Whoa. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in what? Deed and in truth. If we have the love of God in us, as God wants us to, above all these things, put on charity, is He speaking of anything less than the love of God? Is He speaking of anything less than the love which is the fruit of the Spirit? I think not. That which binds us one to another, that which causes you and I to be concerned about each other, shouldn't it not be that which is going to have within us a desire for the betterment of each other? We see somebody with a need, what are we going to do? We're going to seek to try to help them with that. It means caring about each other. Listen to this little story. There was a mother, she was had a little young son who brought her an essay. He had written it about their summer vacation. He wanted his mom to read it. Being an educated woman, the mother read the essay. She had a pen in her hand. And she corrected the grammar and the spelling and handed the essay back to her son. He looked at the paper and noticed all the corrections. With tears in his eyes, he looked up at his mother and said, "I didn't want you to fix it. I just wanted you to like it." You know, that says a lot to me. It's the way we so often are with our fellow Christian. Too often we're focused upon fixing their lives as opposed to just loving them. We feel the need to fix all their flaws and their mistakes and their hurts. I have learned something. Let me give you a secret to counseling. I didn't learn this in Bible school. I didn't go to psychology class to learn this. It took a lot of years of just plain stupidity. Finally, you know, I'm a slow learner. Anybody identify? Thank you. There's a few of us. But I learned this. Do you realize that most people who want counsel know exactly what they need to do? They really don't need you or I to tell them what to do. You know what they need? They don't need advice. They simply need somebody that's willing to listen to them. And if we're willing to listen to them and accept them for who they are, most of the time, out of their own mouth will come forth what needs to be done. And when they walk away, they'll think, "Man, they really helped me." And somewhere in the future, they'll write you a note, or they'll call you on the phone, or they'll see you in person, and they will say, "Thank you for helping me so much through that time." And you'll say, "What in the world did I do?" I sat on the bridge between the boys' dorm and the lunch hall, the whatever we call that out at camp, where we eat. And you've heard me tell this story, but on Thursday afternoon, all the kids had left the camp. They'd gone to Devil's Head. Don't ask me why, as a Christian camp, we used to go to Devil's Head. It's because it was there. And because it didn't look like an angel. And the hike up there is not an angelic place. You got engaged up there, of all things. And I didn't go my first year. And quite frankly, I was very depressed. We were in a very, very difficult time in our church. And I was walking across that bridge just almost in tears, and I met an old man by the name of Dan Allen. Dan was in his late 70s, maybe early 80s at the time. And he just stopped, and we began to chat and began to tell him a few things I was facing. I look back at that time, and I thank God so much for Dan Allen helping me during that time. I've tried to think, what was it Dan Allen said to me that helped me so much? I thought, what advice did he give me? Because I came back knowing exactly what to do, and God gave me direction in it, and we did it, and God wonderfully blessed through it. And I thought, what did he say that made such an impression? I finally figured it out. He didn't say anything. He just listened. He didn't tell me how to do it. He just listened. And let me know that he cared. You know, that's what people need, amen? That we might put on that kind of love in our hearts. It will be to the brethren, as brethren, as those whom we have great concern, but also as we think about those whom are our brethren, they're also our co-laborers in Christ. And so you and I, as we join hands one with another to go forward with the work of God, you and I, listen, we have to do that in love. If there's something that's going to speak to the hearts of the world that's round about us, it's when they see the love of God in our hearts. A church that's united in love is one that has a witness in a community. And how we desperately need that. But not only should our love be directed toward the saved, but I believe also the Word of God teaches us going to be towards the lost. You say, who are the lost? Well, the lost, let's stop and think about that for just a moment because it's important. You might be here today and you're lost. You say, I'm lost. I know where I'm at. No, do you know where you're going? That's the key. Do you know where you're going? You say, well, yeah, when church is over, I'm going to go home, I'm going to eat lunch. No, no, what are you going to do after that? Well, I'm going to sit down and watch TV this afternoon. Well, what are you going to do tomorrow? Well, I'm going to go to work. Well, what about the next day? What about when you die? Where are you going? Do you know the direction you're headed? You see, I hope this isn't saying braggadocious. I know where I'm going when I die. And it's not something I've done myself. It's something God gave me. And it's a gift to you as well. It's called eternal life. It's not eternal death, being separated from God for eternity. But it's eternal life because Jesus Christ came to this world. He died upon a cross. And He died in my place and He died in your place. And the Lord said, if you will believe what I did for you, I mean, you believe that. You accept that. You believe that I did that for you. He says, it's yours. Pretty simple. Pretty simple. Yeah. Stephanie. Do you believe I have a dollar bill in my pocket? Possible? Well, let me see, and I'm going to check and see. Okay? Yeah, I do. I'm just telling you, I have one. Okay? If you'll crawl over those three girls' laps and walk down that aisle and come up here on this platform, I'll give you one of those dollars. Why'd you come up here?
You told me to.
And you believe me.
I believe you.
There you go. Go sit down. Stephanie, you believe I have a $100 bill in my pocket? That'd be a lie. Was that simple? That's exactly what salvation is. By the way, that dollar bill won't change her whole life whole lot, but it did make her a dollar richer. When the Lord God gives you eternal life, it will make the life right now a whole lot different. It's just believing in Him. So, what am I supposed to do? I'm to love lost people. How many of you men, when your wife goes shopping, you stay in the car for safety's sake? It's called safety from arguments. It's safe to do. There's another reason, because I don't like walking around slow looking at every little thing. Any of you guys like that? I detest it. You know, if I need a pair of underwear, I go into the store, I find it, I grab it, I get out. Right, guys? Well, there might be a cheaper pair. I don't care. Listen, you can go. I can sit in my car at Walmart. That's an experience. And you can watch people, and I've done this. And I've thought to myself, oh man, look how they're dressed. Look at that guy. Look at that woman. You done that? Be honest. And sometimes we have these stay away from me kind of things in our hearts. That isn't what God wants us to do, is it? In the book of 2 Corinthians, it says, for the love of Christ constraineth us. When we have that real love of God, it ought to do something. I had that experience this week. I wish I could say I feel this way all the time. I had four kids in my office. It's Thursday afternoon. The wind is blowing like crazy. I mean, it's howling outside. And we were discussing a certain thing, and in walks this guy. Never seen him in my life. He stands 6'6". That's me, except I think I've shrunk a bit. Here's this big dude standing in my doorway. And I'm looking at him. He's got this coat on him. At first I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I know what he wants. He wants a handout. And as they were there, he began to talk. And he says, this wind is terrible. He says, I don't have a place to live, but I called this person over in South Omaha, and they got a place for me to stay. And said I could stay there as long as I want. And he says, you can look over there. A guy gave me the parts. He says, I built that bike. He had it parked on the porch over here. And it's a little 20-inch bike. Here's a 6-foot, I don't know how he rode the thing. And he says, I've got this bike. I've been riding it for 3 days. I've been getting around. And he says, I can't make it across that bridge today in this wind. He says, I just need a ride. Is there somebody here that could give me a ride? And I'm thinking, and one of them was Stephanie. I thought, she got a license. She could take him. Here's the keys, girl. Go for it. And we're done with our business, and they leave. And he begins to talk to me a little bit and tells me a little bit about himself. I'm looking at this guy, and I'm seeing he's got tattoos, not only in his hand, he's got them on his fingers. Later, I found out they're all over. I could see a few little ones on his face, not great big ones, but just little things. And he said to me, Pastor, I just need a ride. He says, I got out of jail in October. He says, I was put in jail for 2 years. I was fighting. And as I talked to him, my heart began to grow for this guy. My thought is, if I take him over there to South Omaha, on the way, he could pull a knife. He wouldn't have to pull anything but his fist. He could steal my van. He could do all these things. Those things ran through my head. Honestly, they did. But something grew inside of me. It can only come from God. And it was a compassion I began to feel. And I looked at him and said, I'll take you. Loaded up the bike and got him in the car, and we began to drive. And I said, you got a job? He says, no, I can't get a job. He says, every time they see all these tattoos, and he lifted up his sleeve on his arm, he says, they don't want me. And he says, they look and they see what these are. He says, I was 20 years ago a member of the Latino Kings down in Miami. He says, I've left that lifestyle a long time ago, but I got all the marks. Had their mark right here on his hand, another big one up here he showed me. I couldn't tell one from another because it looked like a whole massive arm. And he said that was who I was. And then he said this. He said, I wish people would judge me by who I am and not by what they see. And I thought, that'd be me just a few moments ago. But thank you, Lord, for allowing for a few moments the love of Christ to flow into this heart and to flow towards Him. Gave me a ride, pushed the button on my glove box, and there's some tracks in there. I told him to pick a couple of those out and take them with him. We weren't too long in the ride, and he got out and thanked me. And I left. I hope to see him again one of these days. I would love that this tattooed guy would walk in our church building and scare the fire out of some of you. And then I would hope that the love of Christ would be dealt up in your heart and soul. Because that's what God wants us to do. How are people going to know the love of God if they don't know it from you and from me? Do we approve of what they do? No. But we accept people and love them for who they are. Remember what the Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the what? World. And all the mess that it's in, He still loved us. Enough to give His Son. If you've never received Him, I hope the love of God can enter into your heart and you can receive what God has for you. If you're a saved person today, I hope that you will allow the love of God to begin to flow toward your fellow men. Those who are Christians, are they perfect? No. Do they need forbearance? Oh, yeah. Do they need forgiveness? Oh, yeah. But so do we. Yeah. We look and we think, boy, Christians ought to do this and Christians ought to do that. Yeah, and we're one of them. If we know the Lord is our Savior, how that love needs to flow one to another. There's nothing that will encourage another Christian so much as somebody caring about them. It will do more for them than you're fixing, because when the love of God flows through your heart, it's an amazing thing how the Spirit of God then fixes them. He's the great fixer, amen? Oh, we tell forth the truth and we do those things. Don't misunderstand. But, oh my goodness, how we need to do it in love. It's the key. And then to those who are in the world, they might know that we really do care about them. That we care. We love them. And not just in word. But somehow we show it. Let's go to Him in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful today for the love of God. We thank You that it can work in us and through us. Oh God, how thankful we are that You care so much for us. I pray, oh Lord, today for any in this room who've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not sure if they were to die, they'd go to heaven. I pray that You might work in their heart. I pray for Your people, oh God. So often we get caught up in ourselves. So often we have self-love, but little other. Oh God, may this be that which we put on. You have said to put it on because it's available. As we can grab our coat and slip it over our shoulders, that love is available for us, that we might use it for the lives of others. Dear God, I pray You will work in our hearts. Break us if need be. Have Your will and way in every life. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.